And welcome back to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. We're going to talk some National Football League now with Chris Allison of ESPN 730 out of Charlotte, North Carolina. He is co-host of The Pulse every weekday, and he is covering the only undefeated team in the National Football League. That, of course, is the team that everybody predicted would be 13-0. Even Chris Allison said, mark it down, ironclad guarantee, they'll be 13-0. Are you kidding me? Chris, hey, good to talk with you. Thanks for your time, my man. How's everything going down in North Carolina?
Wait, thank you, man. Things are so awesome. It'd all be a rainy day today, but obviously a lot of excitement here. And I'd just like to start by saying hello to everyone there in North Central Kansas. An area that means so much to me growing up in Salina. My first play-by-play game I ever did was Beloit Clay Center right there in the NCKL, man, and I think that was back like in 1997. My heart's right there with you guys. Hope things are going well.
They are going well. I did not know that was the first game you ever did involved Beloit High. That's crazy.
Yeah, man, it was incredible. It was right there in Beloit. It was 1997. It was on the oldie station there in Central Kansas, and it was our game of the week. And I remember the one thing we kept battling, we were hooked up to the phone line there in the concession stand. And somehow that phone line was also connected to a nice lady that lived across the street that wanted to make a phone call, during the game. So she kept picking up her phone saying, I've got to have this line. I've got to make a call. So we battled through that a little bit, but that was certainly a situation I'll never forget. There's no question.
I'd like to order a hot dog and some nachos. Yeah,
exactly.
Let me go to commercial. I'll get that for you. That'd be great.
Exactly.
Amazing. Well, hey, so happy for you. I know things are going great, as you said, and a great place to be down in Charlotte. And certainly got to be even more exciting when your football team, the National Football League team in your city, is 13-0. I mean, just tell me. I remember when we previewed the National Football League on our show, we were going through each team. There were a lot of concerns for Carolina. One, when Benjamin went down, Kevin Benjamin, what are they going to do at wide receiver? Cam Newton, right. Can he stay healthy? The offensive line's got lots of question marks. And yeah, there's nobody saw this one coming, did they?
No, I don't think so at all. And you even, you look back at last year, they started 3-8-1. Mm-hmm. Cam's health was a problem all season last year. The defense, there was a portion of four games or so where the defense was giving up huge runs. And then they won the last four. Then it was the NFC South last year was kind of like the AFC South. This year, who's going to win it? Who really wants it? And there was just four bad football teams. And Carolina was able to put together four straight wins and really come together at the end of the season, make the playoffs, won a playoff game here against Arizona last year. And that was mainly because Carson Palmer was hurt and Ryan Lindley was their quarterback, and so they came here in a playoff game. Arizona did without a quarterback, and that didn't work out well for them, and then lost a pretty good game in Seattle. And as you said, we entered this season with the thought of are they going to win the NFC South for the third straight year, or will Atlanta finally come back? What about New Orleans, Tampa Bay? First year quarterback Jameis Winston, but Lovie Smith well respected, and there are a lot of people not predicting them to win this division, and certainly no one thinking that 13-0 was in the future.
It is amazing. I will say, I heard this the other day, and I don't know if this is true. I haven't done the research on it. Maybe you can back it up. And to me, you play who's on your schedule, and if you win, you win. And they've beaten the Packers, and that was a great win for them. But I was hearing that 13 of their 16 games this year will end up being against 500 or below 500 teams. Is that true?
Well, I mean, look, the one thing I would say to that is, and that very well may be true, but as you look around the league, Wade, I know even as of 2 weeks ago, I think there were only nine teams above 500
in
the NFL. I mean, the majority of the teams in the NFL are either 500 or lower or below. So I think that can be misleading, The Panthers did, they did go to Seattle and win, that they have beaten the Indianapolis Colts. With Andrew Luck, they've beaten the Green Bay Packers, as you mentioned. They had a game with the Philadelphia Eagles. That was all at one stretch. That was four straight games that they were able to take down those teams. They've beaten New Orleans twice, and I know that's nothing you know, to necessarily write home about. The Saints are not having a great season, but those divisional games are always difficult. These coaches and you know, they know each other so well. Those are hard games to get through. Houston's kind of coming along here lately. Carolina took them down early on in the season. You know, they obviously haven't played Arizona. They haven't played the New England Patriots. They've not played Pittsburgh this season, nor have they played Cincinnati. So, you know, those are the teams I think that you also look at along with Carolina as, you know, kind of those elite teams in the NFL. The Chiefs are coming along, which is a great story also. So all of that will kind of play itself out in the playoffs. But, yeah, I mean, there's been good teams, and there's certainly been some bad football teams that Carolina's beaten so far this season.
Well, and Atlanta got off to a great start. Now they've been struggling, so it depends on, like, when you played them, they were hot, and then you finally slow them down, yeah, and things like that. We see that all the time,
sure,
in sports. And it's a political season, I guess. To me, the election's not till next November, but you know how it is. People like to spin things the best that they can.
People
can say the Chiefs haven't played they played a decent schedule, but it's very weak the rest of the way. And then people be knocking the Chiefs, saying, well, their 10-game winning streaks, is it really legit? Blah, blah, blah. And we'll find out. We'll find out in the playoffs, right? That's how you're finally judged.
Exactly. I look around the league and you know, find a schedule where you go, oh my gosh, that was a murderer's row schedule. I mean, there is so much parity in the NFL now,
mm-hmm,
and so many teams at 500 or below. I mean, you can't get away from playing football teams that are struggling on your schedule, and you know, especially in this day and age.
Let's look at the schedule for Carolina, and they've got the Giants coming up this weekend, and I have seen the statistics on this one as well, that the Giants have a history of ruining teams' perfect seasons. Of course, they ruined the Patriots, and they're 18-0, beat them in the Super Bowl, almost beat them at the end of the regular season. They beat the Broncos back in 98 when Broncos came to town. They were 13-0 when they had Elway at quarterback, and so forth and so on, and that's all great and dandy, but none of the players on these teams played I don't think too many of them played in those games back then. But at the same time, when you look at the rest of the schedule, Chris, at the Giants, at the Falcons, the Panthers just whipped them 38-0. Buccaneers at home. If they're going to trip up, this is the game that a lot of people are pointing to, would be this Sunday against the 6-7 Giants.
Yeah, and we just saw the Giants, play the game of the year for them last week. And we saw Eli Manning put together a near-perfect performance. And you know, you see Odell Beckham Jr. making the great catches that he makes. And so there's no question that the Giants will be formidable this Sunday. The one thing I look at is the Giants' running game, and it's pretty much non-existent. Rashad Jennings is their best running back. And I don't think that the Giants will be able to establish a running game against Carolina. If they can, then they have a very good chance of winning. I don't think that they will be able to do that. I also think Carolina will get some pressure on Eli Manning, and they ought to be able to limit the New York Giant offense. The matchup to watch in this game is Josh Norman, who is, I think, the best corner in the league. At least he's playing like it right now, up against Odell Beckham Jr. And Josh kind of has that flamboyant, wide receiver attitude, if you will. You know, he's good and he knows it, you know, he looks forward to these matchups. He talks about it. I mean, it's really refreshing, quite honestly, as a person that covers the team, to hear what we hear from Josh. You know, and yeah, he's cocky, but he respects his opponent, and he always looks at it as a great challenge. And he has just done a remarkable job all season long of shutting down top wide receivers. And so I can't wait to see this matchup on Sunday.
Cam Newton, I like Cam. I've always been a fan of Cam Newton. I know he was maybe immature there the first couple of years when you get in the National Football League, and you consider how much success he had in college football, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, now we're with the big boys. Talk about his maturity. Some people would argue he's still not, you know, fully matured because he likes to celebrate. I see it a different way, and I read the article in Sports Illustrated. You know, all the good things he does for the community, and he gives the footballs when he scores touchdowns to the young kids. And he says, I just enjoy playing the game, and so I'm going to enjoy it. Talk about the scrutiny he's come under just because he's trying to enjoy the game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's obviously there. My next-door neighbor can't stand him, you know. And she's a Green Bay Packer fan, and her and I get into it all the time about Cam, you know, because – you know, can't, you know, win with class. These are things that I hear, you know, don't celebrate, just give the ball to the official. And who in the NFL does that anymore? I mean, it is entertainment. Even Aaron Rodgers has his discount double check, you know. I mean,
yes.
You know, the celebrations are vast. If you score a touchdown, you celebrate it the way it is these days. I still look back at Barry Sanders and respect the world about the way he handled it. He did handle it with the ultimate class. But celebration is part of it. Cam has a wonderful time playing this game. I think the coaching staff gives him great flexibility in being himself. I think that feeds off to his teammates. And they're just, they are just enjoying playing the game, maybe as much as anyone I have ever seen. And I think it does start with Cam Newton. And when you talk about immaturity, in high school, I'm sure, state championships in high school, he goes to college. Well, it didn't work out at Florida. He goes to Blinn and wins a national championship and goes undefeated. Goes to Auburn, wins a national championship and goes undefeated. Comes into the NFL. He had a great rookie year, threw for over 4,000 yards, did things that we'd never seen before from NFL quarterbacks his rookie year, but the team wasn't winning. And I don't think he knew how to handle that very well. And they didn't win much in his first couple of years. Now they're winning, and we're seeing a more mature Cam Newton. I just don't think the guy knows how to lose and hates losing. And that probably has helped develop him into the quarterback that we see today. He's playing at such a high level. He is on the money with his passes. If someone wants to argue with you that Cam's not a pocket passer, just put the film on and watch what's going on this season. He loves to sit in the pocket. He loves to pick apart defenses, and he's doing a great job of it.
Talk about the weapons that he has, and we're talking with Chris Allison, ESPN 730 out of Charlotte, North Carolina, co-host of The Pulse down there, and formerly, of course, here in our area with K-State Radio Network. He was in Wichita. He was in Salina. Talk about the weapons that he has, because before the season, you lose your top receiver and questions about who's he going to throw to, who in the world's going to make plays, and man, they just keep clicking along 30 points a game.
Yeah, I mean, they're scoring more points than any other offense in football, which is pretty remarkable, considering that, the top receiver weight is Ted Ginn Jr., who was here in 2013 and had a nice season. I mean, I talked 40 or 50 balls maybe, and, was upwards of 600-700 yards, something like that. Went to Arizona the following year, and John Brown, the rookie out of Pittsburgh State, kept Ted Ginn on the sideline. Ginn didn't play early at all in Arizona. Comes back to Carolina, and now he's making serious plays. He does drop the ball some, but he also has great speed. In fact, maybe the fastest guy in football. And he caught two touchdown passes last week. He's been a great deep threat for Cam. Jericho Cotchery, you might remember him. He spent a lot of years with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's a possession receiver. He's a great leader for the team. They've got a couple of other receivers. Devin Funchess was a second-round draft pick that's kind of coming along the last few weeks. But Greg Olsen, the tight end, he's the one you got to point out as the go-to guy also for Cam. Greg is one of the top tight ends in football. He's been here since 2011, and he also is having a great season. And, you put all of that together along with a 1,000-yard rusher and Jonathan Stewart. He's just shy of 1,000 yards. And then you got Cam's running ability, too. You got an offensive line that has done a pretty good job. It's not the best line in the league, but it's a pretty good line, and it equivalates into a very productive offense.
The defense, I watched him a couple times. I'm very impressed. Keekly is a stud at linebacker. Just tell us a little bit about this defense and why it's so good. Well, you mentioned Norman. Sure. Norman, a shutdown corner helps.
Right, shutdown corner helps. Up front, a dominant tackle, Kawan Short. He is unbelievable. He's got 9 sacks. No defensive tackle has ever had 9 sacks in this franchise history. There's still 3 games to go. He's got 9 sacks. He's dominating the front line. Keekly and Thomas Davis. Thomas Davis is a guy that's had 3 ACL surgeries on the same knee and is still playing and playing at a high level. He's very underrated linebacker, but a great, great leader on this team. So you got leadership up front in the defensive line. You got those 2 linebackers that we talked about. And for Kansas City Chiefs fans, let me bring up a guy that was in Kansas City last year, Kirk Coleman. Played safety there in Kansas City last year, 3 interceptions for the Chiefs. They brought him in, I thought, as a special teams guy. They put him at strong safety. He got 7 picks. One of the leaders in the league in interceptions. He is a headhunter. He brings attitude to the field, and he has made a tremendous difference with this defense. So Kirk Coleman, who I'm sure Kansas City would love to have him playing the way he is right now, he's made a major impact here.
Jared Allen, isn't he with the team now?
He is, man, he is. And, he's getting 30 snaps a game, something like that. He's getting to the quarterback. I think he brings you know, more leadership to the locker room. You know, that's one thing, that word keeps coming up. But, man, they've got a lot of great veterans on this team. He's hitting the quarterback. You know, he didn't work out in Chicago because John Fox brought in this, you know, this defense where they were trying to have Jared Allen stand up.
Oh, no.
As opposed to in a three-point stance. Well, that's not his game.
Mm-hmm.
So when he got the chance to come to Carolina, put his hand on the ground and start rushing the quarterback again, he was thrilled, and he's taking advantage of it. He did talk last week about retiring and said he will either play next year here with Carolina or he'll retire, that he's not going to go play anywhere else. So he was kind of wilting away there in Chicago, and he got traded probably 6 or 7 games into the season here, and now he's riding a great wave with the Carolina Panthers.
Well, and I'm happy for him because he hasn't had a lot of success with the teams he's been, and it'd be nice to see him see playoff success. And obviously, Carolina's going to the playoffs, and all he needs one more win, they'll wrap up home field advantage in the NFC. They're 13-0. They're at the Giants on Sunday. We talked about that one a little bit. Sounds like Stewart's going to be out. And then at Atlanta, and then you host the Buccaneers. Is the Giant game the toughest one of those three? Is that the one that worries you the most of the three?
You know, I would say none of the three, as I analyze these games, none of the three scare me that much.
Mm-hmm.
I think going to Atlanta after beating them 38-0 and embarrassing them here last week, Carolina will win that game, but I certainly would anticipate a closer game. Tampa Bay is kind of playing, they're playing pretty good football right now. Jameis is playing at a high level. He's not turning it over. Throwing 3, 4, 5 touchdowns a game. Doug Martin is the running back. He's second in the league in rushing. Like, Tampa Bay is a different team right now than they were when Carolina played the first time around. But that game's also at home. And if you walk in here 15-0, I think Carolina wins that game also. But, you know, I guess I would probably say, since it's on the road in New York, that would probably be the one that might be, you know, most dangerous here to Carolina.
Okay, so let me throw this one out at you. The Packers had to deal with this a few years ago, I believe. Also, the Colts had to deal with it at one point in time, and that is if Carolina, if they win at the Giants this weekend, looks like then they would have home field throughout the NFC. How does Coach Ron Rivera handle things the final 2 weeks of the season? You're chasing history, but many of these other coaches been in these same situations said, we weren't chasing history. That's not the goal, to go undefeated. The goal is to win the Super Bowl.
Right. I think they're going to go for it. Ron is, and he's got this nickname. This all came about back in the 2013 season when he started changing his philosophy and going for it on fourth down and, you know, being a little bit more adventurous with his offensive risk-taking. He's known as Riverboat Ron. I think this team will be cautious, meaning, you know, let's say you got a Jonathan Stewart with a slightly sprained ankle. All right, we're going to send him out. But if the guys are healthy, not nicked up, I think you're going to see them on the field, and I think you're going to see them going for history. I think the team wants to do it. I think Ron wants to do it. Remember, Ron was on the 1985 Bears team that took a run at this. He was a player on that team, so he's kind of lived through this before as a player. And, you know, I think Cam Newton starts every game of the regular season. You know, if you're up like they were last week, you know, if it's 38-0 with 11 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, you bring the guy out, you put Derek Anderson in, and you keep Cam healthy. They were able to do that with a lot of their starters last week. But when it comes to going for history, let's say you're at home against Tampa Bay and you're up 17-14 and there's 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and the only thing on the line is 16-0, you're going to see him go for it.
I like that. I want to see history. I didn't want Kentucky to make history last year in basketball because I'm just not a big Kentucky fan or a Kyle Perry fan, but I would love to see the Panthers. I'm sick of the Dolphins from 72 celebrating popping the champagne every single time. I want to, and I think it'd be great if it was a team that nobody expected. And you're going to have to go 19-0. You have to complete it, as we found out. The Patriots are 18-0, but you still got to win the whole thing, even though it's going to require you to win a couple more games than Dolphins had to do in 1972. So, okay, you think Carolina's going to win the next three games, it sounds like. They'll be 16-0 going into the playoffs. What team or teams concern you the most in regards to matchups in the playoffs in the NFC for Carolina?
Yeah, certainly a couple come to mind. Two or three come to mind. And I would put them in this order. I'm going to say Arizona 1. And they've got just 2 losses. Carson Palmer's playing at a high level. good defense, good receivers. Kind of three, you know, they got three receivers that can beat you.
Yeah.
Michael Floyd, John Brown, Larry Fitzgerald. So I'm going to put them one. I'm going to put Seattle two. And just the way we're seeing Russell Wilson play right now, 16 touchdowns, no picks his last four games. They have won, what, four in a row in Seattle. And these two teams, they have played, let's see, one, two, four. They played five times the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to play again next year. They're on the side. I believe the NFC South is playing the NFC West next season, so they're going to play again. So they know each other very well. They're all close, low-scoring games for the most part. Carolina won up there earlier this year. So I'd say Seattle 2, Green Bay 3.
Okay. If Carolina makes it to the Super Bowl, what's the team in the AFC that you would not like to see?
Mm-hmm. Well, don't you think it comes down to, I mean, I don't know. Is New England going to be that team? They're so
banged up.
They're so banged up right now, but yet they still have Tom Brady and they've got Belichick. I think it's probably going to be New England, and that would be a great dogfight. I don't think Denver's going to make it because of this quarterback situation that they've got going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
I brought up the Chiefs here last week. They all laughed at me. You
know? Even Chiefs fans might laugh at you on that one.
I brought it up on the air. Y'all driving to work, and I'm chewing on this. Royals win the World Series, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City's won now seven straight football games, and they've got a defense. They've got a quarterback that's got some confidence. They're stretching the ball down the field a little bit. I know they're missing some running backs, and that hurts, but how crazy would it be to see Carolina, Kansas City, for a guy like me who grew up in the Midwest and is out here now, how crazy would it be to see them play in the Super Bowl in San Francisco? That would be unbelievable.
Oh, I said earlier on the program today that I said I want to see Carolina go ahead and run the table, go 19-0, unless they play the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Then, of course, I hope the Chiefs ruin it all. Do you know that the Royals have lost more recently than the Chiefs have? Did you know that? That the Royals have a loss? Yes. The Royals, when they lost game three of the World Series, the Chiefs started their winning streak right before that.
Is that?
or they lost their last game before that anyway. So it's actually the Royals have lost more recently than the Chiefs. You can use that for your show. That's free if you want to use it.
There you go.
Yeah, no problem. Helping you out, man. Yeah, I try. Yeah. I try. The Chiefs are on a roll. The Broncos have question marks. I think the team everybody's jumping on right now, the Steelers, and they're very impressive offensively, although I think they have some issues defensively. That's a team that maybe could still catch the Bengals in that division. They got to play each other again. Of course, the Chiefs could still win the division. They need some things to go their way. And then you've got two divisions in football that don't even have a winning team. Do you feel that teams that do not win a division, or teams that do win a division but have a losing record, shouldn't we change it to where they cannot host a playoff game?
You know what? I would go with what you just said, not host a playoff game. I might jump on that bandwagon.
Okay.
And here's a great example. We lived it last year.
Yes.
Carolina was 7-8-1. Arizona was, what were they last year?
10-6, 11-5.
They lost Carson Palmer. I mean, maybe 11-12. Yeah. So they had, you know, three more wins, and they had to come to Carolina for a playoff game. So, this topic came up then. I don't want to get rid of the divisions. I do think if you win your division, no matter what your record, that you deserve a spot in the playoffs.
Yep.
But I would certainly at least take a look at that thought that you just had, and that is, if you have a losing record and you're in the playoffs, and you're playing a team with a better record, you're going on the road.
Yeah. It would only make sense, but...
Yeah, there you go.
We shall see. They're changing it in the NBA this year with situations like that, which I like to see. Okay, so your prediction, Carolina in the Super Bowl, you're feeling good about it?
I think it's, just analyzing it. I mean, I think they absolutely have a shot, a very, very good chance. They would be my favorite right now to do that.
Okay, Carolina, and you're going to go on a limb here on the show. Who you taking on the AFC?
I'm going to say Carolina, New England rematch the 2003 Super Bowl.
Wow.
And I think Carolina's better than New England.
And that was a heck of a Super Bowl the last time they played, and probably another good one. Yes, I do. That was a heck of a game. All right, finally, we'll let you off the hook here with our off-the-wall question. My son, I'm going to play this for you. My 9-year-old son yesterday told me this.
You're not funny!
He has a little energy, and I apparently am not funny. So what I want to know from you, Chris, what is something that any of your children have said recently or comes to the forefront of your mind that a kid has said of your family that has been funny or made fun of you? I'm sure it's never happened in your house at all, I'm sure.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's funny you say that because I've got five kids.
Yes.
How about this? Between the ages of 10 and 1.
Oh, man. God bless you.
Five kids between the ages of 10 and 1 in the house right now. So, you know, it's interesting. This is bad, Wade, but, you know, it's interesting. I spent an hour and a half this morning at a DARE graduation, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, they're talking about, you know, of course, all of the things that DARE stands for, which is fantastic.
Sure.
But I'm sitting there going, gosh, you know, we have a glass of wine at the supper table, right? And they're talking about how awful, you know. Oh, man. Maybe.
You're feeling guilty?
Yeah. I'm like, oh, man. I wonder if what dad likes to enjoy while watching football came up in class.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Man, and you know what? We just, the holiday season going on right now, and all of the kiddos at the house, and we're having a blast. And, you know, whether it be, I had a preschooler Christmas program yesterday. It was just 4-year-old girl. She's our little sunshine. And we had that yesterday and had their graduation today. And we got other parties coming up, you know, with the kids over the next couple of weeks, or I guess over the end of this week, I should say. And we're enjoying the holidays. There's no question.
Well, it's terrific. Happy for you. And it sounds like you and your family, very blessed. Have a safe and happy holiday season. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you. And I'll say best of luck to the Carolina Panthers, unless they play the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. All right, man.
Yeah. And that would be awesome. I'd love to see that happen. And it was great seeing the Royals win the World Series as well. That was unbelievable.
Absolutely. Chris, thanks for your time, and we'll talk again in 2016, buddy.
Thank you, Wade. Anytime, man.
That's Chris Allison, ESPN 730 out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Our guest today on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs.